to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, Westerns. Later on, we hear John Daner as J.B. Kendall, the Frontier Gentleman. But right now, it's a high-fidelity broadcast of Fort Laramie with the story Woman at Horse Creek, the CBS broadcast featuring Raymond Burr from February 12, 1956.
At the gallop! Hello!
Fort Laramie. Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
How far you reckon it is to the North Platte, Captain?
10 miles, Sergeant. No more than that. Lieutenant Seibert should have the company bivouacked there by now.
You aim to follow the creek bed clean up there, sir?
Not after we water the horses. Ah, this spot's good enough.
Yes, sir. Move up, Flint.
Sergeant?
Captain says we'll take a break here. Ease those cinches and lead the mounts down to the stream there and water.
All right, Sergeant.
After they're watered, they can pin graze.
I'll mind them.
Kind of peaceful, ain't it?
It's quiet. Yeah, sit down, Gorse. More comfortable than the McClelland.
Yes, sir. Them Shoshones, they got a way of wearing you out. You think they're still running, Captain?
They'll be back. They never run for long. Not when they're hungry.
I never heard of Shoshones as far east as the Nebraska border before.
You can find them as far east as Texas. Only there we call them Comanches. They're offshoots of the same tribe.
They sure don't talk the same.
The dialect's the only difference. They're a disorganized lot, the Shoshones. I guess we can be glad for that.
Yeah. Little of them goes a long way. How about the company, Captain?
We'll know more when we rendezvous. Lieutenant Seibert has orders to make camp on the North Platte until the company's accounted for.
I think we held up, sir.
Yeah, I hope so.
I sure got a thirst.
Hold it, Gorse. You hear that?
Like digging?
Yeah. Up there. Top of the rise.
I don't see anybody.
Neither do I yet. Come on. I move small.
She's awful little to be manning that spade.
And she's not too handy with it. She must want a hole dug awful bad. That earth's like granite. Yeah, let's go up, Sergeant.
Feels like she's alone.
Yeah. Ma'am, you cut out a big job for yourself.
I got no food, no coffee, nothing to offer the army.
We're not asking for anything.
Could have come yesterday. Yesterday I could have stood it if you'd come.
You'll be all your life picking away at that hard pan. Haven't you got a man to do this for you?
I had one yesterday. He's dead now. And a man's got a right to a grave.
Sergeant,
Yes, sir.
Get Flint up here. Tell him we need a grave dug.
Yes, sir.
Where is your husband, ma'am?
In bed. In the hut there.
Flint, hobble them horses and get up here.
Foul in here, sir.
Gangrene. He's ridden with it. Must have taken him a long time to die.
Yes, sir.
Got a broken leg.
That's hard pain, Captain.
Looks hard, Gorse. Here, we'll wrap him in these bedclothes.
Right, sir.
The army always take over this way when it's too late.
It's best he's out of here, ma'am. You ready, Gorse?
Yes, sir.
Easy now.
Don't bury him. Just yet.
Grave's not ready yet. Drink it, Mrs. Dennis. It's hot, that's all I can promise.
Been a long time at it.
It takes time. Drink it, Ms. Dennis.
Luther was a long time at it, too, the dying.
I know.
All the things he's lived through out here. Indian raids and blizzards and droughts, starvation. There's never been food enough. But a broken leg. I had to kill him.
You're a long way from help out here.
Yesterday. Just yesterday. And you come today.
Yesterday would have been too late, too, Mrs. Dennis.
Always before I could do something. I freeze with him, starve with him. When's the last time you watched a man die, Captain?
Yesterday.
Did it take 10 days? 10 days and 10 nights? Did you hear him scream with pain and beg for you to go for help and beg you not to leave him?
Miss Dennis! Where will you go now? You got people somewhere?
Oh, sure, I have people. Got parents in Philadelphia who never want to see me again. 2 years ago, when Luther come back for me, they fought us all they could. When they saw I meant to leave with him, they said, don't come back.
You can't stay here.
The nearest to me is here. There's two dead babies out there by where I'll set Luther down.
You can't stay here alone. Isn't safe.
I'm not used to feeling safe.
Captain... It's already out there.
Then you can go now.
Mrs. Dennis, this is no country for a woman alone. We'll take you to Fort Laramie. It's safe there. And
you'll leave me be.
It's not a brave thing staying on here. It's stupid.
I mean to stay on with Luther a while yet.
All right, Mrs. Dennis. Let's get back to the horses, Sergeant. We're wasting time.
Wasn't much grateful, was she, Captain?
We did a small thing. She'd no cause to be grateful, Flint. She's no mind to be grateful for anything the West gives her or takes away.
Must have been a pretty little thing once. Kind of dainty-like. How old do you reckon she is, sir?
Oh, early 20s.
Looks most half a lifetime to me, Captain. All drawn tight and mean.
The West does that to a woman. They come here as girls, and no time they're women. Old, past their years. She's not mean, Flint. She's soft as a kitten. She's born a lot, that's all.
Oh, you think that, sir?
I know that.
You'd think she'd want to leave, though. No use her hanging on to the land. She can't prove it up by herself.
She'll get out once she thinks it's her own idea. Right now, she thinks she can't face the thought of leaving him there. She's got nowhere she wants to go.
Wonder what'll happen to her. I mean, alone, like that. She can't fend for herself, can she, Captain?
Those women I seen out here'd find him a man, any man, marry again, just to live. They hate the West. Chances are they'd hate the man, too. But they keep marrying to live.
Now this one, Captain.
You seem pretty sure, Sergeant.
Just a feeling. She'll go back east somewheres. Leave her dead. Go back where she came from. She don't belong out here.
Well, she's got no wagon or a stock to pull it. If she goes, she'll have to walk.
Maybe she won't, sir. Maybe she won't.
Come in.
You sent for me, Captain?
Yeah, Gorse. Come in.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Gorse, ever since we got back from Horse Creek, the fort's been full of stories that make the cavalry sound like a wet nurse outfit. You know anything about them?
What kind of stories, sir?
You know any troopers who are going around collecting money to send Mrs. Dennis back east?
Troopers? No, sir, I don't.
I've been kind of lucky at poker lately. Thought maybe I'd share it with whoever's running the charity around here.
I guess that'd be me, sir.
I guess it would. Yeah.
Obliged, Captain.
You're not going to make this a habit.
No, sir.
You taking the money to her?
No, sir. Private Flint's leave starts tomorrow after first call. He'll do it.
That's all, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
She reminds you of someone, Gorse? Girl somewhere?
No, sir, it ain't that. It's just she's so little and all, kind of like a stray. She don't belong out here.
Carry on, Sergeant. Captain Quince reporting, sir.
Oh, I'm afraid you didn't do a very good job on the Shoshones, Captain.
We didn't wipe them out, Major, if that's what you mean.
You met them near the Nebraska border before, isn't that right?
And they were hightailing it into Nebraska the last we saw, those that lived.
Well, they're back, Lee. And in numbers, too.
They're hungry in numbers.
I'm familiar with your charitable streak, Captain Quince. I understand it's spread to Sergeant Gorse, right on down to the ranks.
There's no cause for worry, Major. It's not widespread enough to be called an epidemic.
All right, Lee. The Shoshones are raiding homesteaders from our side of the North Platte, south along Horse Creek. I understand there aren't many settlers along the creek.
No, not many.
They're not just hungry, Captain Quince. This time they're carrying off women. Any questions?
No, sir.
Then move out.
There's smoke ahead, Captain.
I see there is, Mr. Syberts.
Might be able to surprise them.
Just how do you think we could manage that?
Well, sir, if the fire's still burning, chances are there may be Indians around somewhere.
Look at that smoke again, Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir?
Well?
I still see it.
Good for you. Then you see the fire smoldering, not burning fresh.
You think the Shoshones have gone on, sir?
They're not ones to sit around and admire their work once they've struck. Halt! Sergeant!
Yo!
Think we can find them, Captain? They're probably hours away by now.
Unless it's a trap, Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir?
Sergeant, that's Carpenter's cabin ahead, isn't it?
Was, sir.
You and I'll ride in, Sergeant. Mr. Seibert will move the patrol to that rise to the left and hold the position. Two shots will be your signal to move in, Mr. Seibert.
Yes, sir. That's an old fire, Captain. Smoldering.
Mr. Seibert and I know that, Sergeant. Any questions, Mr. Seibert?
No, sir.
Then move out.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Gorse. Cold. It is an old fire, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
And it'd be his wife's brother by the cabin.
He ain't been here a month, sir.
That's all there was? Carpenter, his wife, her brother?
Just the three of them, Captain. I don't see her anywhere around.
Huh? It's not likely we will.
I think it'd be enough just to kill a man, wouldn't you, Captain?
You'd think so, Gorse. Come on.
No sign of life, sir?
No sign of life, Mr. Seibert.
I was wondering,
Captain. I know what you're wondering, Sergeant.
Her place would be north of here, sir.
Due north, along the creek. Mr. Seibert.
Yes, sir.
You'll take half the patrol and move along Horse Creek to the south. You see those dots of smoke on the horizon?
I see them, sir.
Well, check them.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Gorse, prepare to move the other half to the north.
Yes, sir.
All right, fall in.
I'm going north with Gorse, right. Mr. Seibert. We'll rendezvous at the usual point in the North Platte. First arrival makes camp and waits, with pickets out.
Right, Captain. I'll judge the fires better this time, sir.
Use your eyes, Mr. Seibert. Then use your head.
How long are you going to wait, Captain? Nothing stirred up there by her place.
The troopers in position?
Yes, sir. Full circle. Set back in the hills, all around the hut. Likely she's gone by now. Flint would have been through here with the money 2-3 days ago.
Maybe. I'm going in, Gorse. You got a clear shot at the door?
All the way.
I didn't think we'd find her hut still standing. Well, we'll see, Sergeant. Hold your fire, Gorse!
That came from the hut, sir.
The army's not welcome here, Captain.
You fire that again, ma'am. The whole patrol will move in.
You have some money to give me, too, Captain?
Oh. Now we'll talk inside, Mrs. Dennis.
You all right, sir?
No problem, Sergeant.
How many men, Captain?
6. All around the hut.
6 army men after 1 woman.
The Shoshones are raiding all along Horse Creek. You're lucky they missed you.
Lucky?
You can bring a few things, but not much. Let's get them together.
You didn't answer me, Captain. I asked you what you come for.
I told you to take you back.
I was real took in at first. I felt sort of kindly toward all the brave army men who put by the money for me.
Private Flint was here then?
That his name? That nice, smiley one who dug Luther's grave? Yeah, he was here. Clean till early this morning, he was here. I don't figure I owe the army a thing now, Captain. Not a thing.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Dennis.
You're always too late, aren't you, Captain? Too late for everything.
I am sorry. I warned you it wasn't safe here.
So your hands are clean. Your conscience is clear.
I didn't mean that.
Oh, you warned me, but I had in mind you was talking about Indians when you said this was no country for a woman alone.
Indians or Flint or any man who hasn't seen a woman for a long time.
Now you've come. Six of you.
To force you to safety this time, ma'am.
There's a safe place for a woman out here?
Fort Laramie, for the time being.
Flint was from Fort Laramie.
Private Flint isn't the whole cavalry, Mrs. Dennis. You'll get food there. Rest. In a couple of days, there's a stage out for the east.
With cavalry protection?
Not unless it's called for, ma'am.
Go back home. I guess that's all that's left. I hate that, Captain. I hate it.
I know how you feel, Miss Dennis, but I just want to tell you that I...
You don't. You couldn't. You couldn't know how I feel about anything. I'm going to get my things now.
The stage driver says about 5 minutes.
I wondered if I'd see you again, Captain.
I owed it to the sergeant, the troopers, to see their money got spent the way they meant it.
I wondered if I'd find a feeling in me to be grateful to you. Any of you.
No one's asking for any thanks, ma'am. No one expects any.
Well, once I can forget... Maybe I can be grateful.
You're better off leaving.
Luther was a good man. I used to read all he sent me about the West. He saw the good of it. New and full of hope, that's how he said it. I never saw that in it, Captain. I never saw the good.
It isn't all good, isn't all bad either. But you're better off back home, reading about it.
Well, I'd better be getting on the stage now.
Safe journey to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Captain. And I mean thank you.
Goodbye, Mrs. Dennis.
Goodbye, leader.
All set, driver.
Yes, sir. Yeah! Oh, oh.
He's in the saloon.
You should feel right about things now, Gorse. You were the first to know she didn't belong here.
I won't feel right till he's settled, Captain. Well, but how can he be now? The Army can't touch him without Mrs. Dennis tells her story.
She's been through enough.
But how about him? Why, he'd have drawn time, plenty of time, for what he'd done to her.
Don't worry about it, Gorse.
Well, now, wait, Captain. You can't do it that way. I've seen you like this before, Captain. You'll kill him.
I'll handle it, Gorse.
You know what they do to you, sir. Killing him ain't worth that.
I'm not going to kill him. But I am going to mark him up. Maybe he'll wish I had killed him. Is he drunk?
Not yet, sir.
In uniform?
No. Still on leave. You give me 5 minutes emergency leave. Just 5 minutes.
You leave him be, Gorse. That's an order.
Yes, sir. Over there, Captain.
I see him. You stay here.
But, Captain...
That's an order, Gorse.
Yes, sir.
What? Captain Quince. Hello.
Set your glass down, Flint.
Not on orders just yet, Captain. Two more days of my leave coming to me.
Set it down.
He's got his rights, Captain. This saloon's not run by the Army.
It is now. Clear everyone out of here, barkeep.
Now, you just wait.
Sergeant! Clear the premises.
Yes, sir.
What is this?
I don't know what you got in mind.
I do.
There's regulations on my side, Captain.
I'm waiting to hear you say it isn't true, Flint.
Setting your saber aside, taking off your tunic, don't make you less an officer. You can't lay a hand on me. There's regulations.
I'm waiting, Flint.
You touch me and I'll go over your head. I'll tell my story to the major.
You do that.
He'll break you down to my size once I tell my story.
You tell him, Flint, and tell it all, because I'll be there to see you don't leave any of it out.
And don't come any closer. I got every right to defend myself.
You sure do. And put that chair down.
I don't care who you are.
I'm just like you now, Flint. I got every right to defend myself. Your saloon's looking kind of run down, barkeep. Looks to me like it's due for some repairs.
Yeah, it sounded like it. But what about the customer? You just gonna leave him there?
See, he's taken to the infirmary, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. Is he bad off, Captain?
I'm not the best judge, Gorse. I'd say a good army doctor could get him on his feet again in 6 months, maybe.
That saloon brawling sure is punishing stuff, sir.
It's deadly, Sergeant.
Well, what about me, my saloon?
Well, I'd watch who I let in there after this, barkeep. That man had a bad temper. Threw one of your chairs at me.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Fort Laramie, on Tuned to Yesterday from February 12th, 1956 on CBS. It's an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now we turn to The Frontier Gentleman, a CBS broadcast called Gentle Virtue, featuring John Daner, Vic Perrin, Jack Crucian, and actors Virginia Gregg and Ben Wright, who would join John Daner later in a series called Have Gun Will Travel, where they played characters of Chinese descent, which they will in this next broadcast from March 30th, 1958 on CBS, called Gentle Virtue.
Her Chinese name was Chen Shuk Yi, which in English means gentle virtue. This is her story.
Frontier Gentleman. Herewith an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
Montana Territory, there is a mining town which has been known variously as Cottonwood, Spanish Forks, and La Barge. Now it is simply called Deer Lodge. I had stopped there on my way back to Fort Benton, and it was in Deer Lodge that I was for the first time introduced to the card game of poker. It all began innocently enough after I struck up a friendship with Billy Moore, a prospector whose claim lay a few miles from town.
You might call me kind of a cross between a river sniper and a desert rat. River sniper's what I am here, gold panning like this. Of course, my diggings is back there on the hill. But I ain't hit nothing much yet. Stream's not bad, though. Keeps me going.
It's a lonely job, I imagine.
Sometimes.
You ever think of settling down? Getting married?
Sure. Sure, when I strike it big, I may do that. Meantime, there's Deer Lodge close by. Don't get time to be lonesome there.
I haven't noticed you're much of a drinking man.
Oh, I ain't. But there's always a card game. Faro, three-card Monte, poker. Poker's my game. Nothing I like more than a night or two of poker.
Do you win?
Not much. Stay about even, mostly. How about you?
Never played a game in my life.
You never played poker?
No.
Well, boy, we sure got to do something about that.
You think it's absolutely necessary?
Mr. Kendall, how are you going to write about how people live in these parts if you ain't never played poker?
Oh, well, I never quite thought of it in that way.
Well, it's a fact. I'll tell you what. This afternoon, I'll show you how to play. There's nothing to it. And then tonight, we'll go into town. There's always a real friendly game at Dead Broke Bar.
That evening, we rode back into Deer Lodge. Billy had pronounced me an able student, and that with caution, I might even add a dollar or two to my diminishing funds. I had promised to limit myself to play with $50 and no more. When we arrived at the bar, Billy led me to a table in the back room. Two men were there. One, a meek-looking fellow whose expression was one of constant, hurt surprise. The other was a lanky, dark-faced chap. Billy introduced us.
This here's J.B. Kendall, boys. Turkey Johnson and Neil Daggers.
How do you do, gentlemen?
Kendall's a newspaper fella from England, writes for the London Times, out here looking this over. Give us some chips, Turkey.
How's it going, Billy? Any pay dirt?
Oh, about the same. I ain't complaining. What about you?
I'm going to give it another week, then I'm pulling up stakes.
You, Turkey?
Look, you want to play or talk?
Turkey ain't in the mining business right now, Kent.
Oh, I see.
Trying to get a stake playing poker. The trouble is he keeps on losing. You feel lucky tonight, Turkey?
And one of these days you're going to get lead poisoned if you don't shut your mouth.
Nice friendly cuss, ain't it? Them blue chips is worth $5, Kendall. Red's two, and white's one.
High card deals. King, jack, eight, four. Your deal, Kendall.
Hmm? Oh, yes.
Dole of cards, boy.
Five.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Something the matter?
In these parts, we cut the cards, mister.
He's kind of...
Oh,
cool. He don't mean no harm. I'll cut him. Dole him around,
kid. Never did cut the plan with a greenhorn.
Sorry.
Oh, just deal, mister.
Feeling you're telling a windy turkey. I'll see you. Give me three cards, Kendall.
I'll take two.
Billy won the first hand and the second. I played very carefully, and at the end of an hour was about $5 to the good. I could see that Turkey Johnson resented both me and my playing, even more so because he was losing. His temper slowly deteriorated with the quality of his cards. Then the door opened, and a small, pigtailed Chinese gentleman walked in. He had an ageless face, impassive.
Hey, you!
Oh, it looks
shabby. I didn't think you'd be coming tonight. Light and rest your saddle.
Mr. J.B. Kendall, you. He's from England.
Mr. Kendall, I am honored.
Is it Mr. You?
Yes.
How do you do, sir?
Good evening, Mr. Daggers. Mr.
Evening.
Johnson.
Come on. Come on, Moore, it's your deal.
I know it.
Well, deal.
Chips, please, Mr. Johnson. $50.
You keeps a string of burros, sells them or rents them. Orneriest critters you ever seen.
Oh, very intelligent. Very noble animals.
Oh, is that pretty girl of yours, Mew? Ain't seen her around.
He keeps her hid from the likes of us, huh, you? You ought to see her, Kendall. Real nice little filly.
Is your daughter, Mr. You?
Oh, no, daughter, no. She's a girl from Hong Kong. She helps me with business.
Talk. It's your play, Kendall.
I'll open for a dollar. Mr. Yu proved to be an astute but unlucky player, and Johnson began to win. For the next 2 hours, the game seesawed back and forth, and after that, it became obvious that unless there was a startling change, the big winner would be Johnson. The loser, Mr. Yu. Billy, Neil Deggers, and myself were about even. Then an extraordinary thing happened. I found myself at the end of a draw, sitting with three aces and two queens. The betting was up to Neil Deggers. At that time, there was $50 on the table.
Two.
No, I'm folding.
Two, and I raise three.
Yeah. Hey, this is a big one, huh? All right, boys. I'm calling and raising five of my own. You take it easy, Kendall.
Shut your mouth, Moore. Ain't no side playing this game.
Now, don't get riled, Turkey.
Riled. Just keep your mouth shut.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. Just give me a moment. Very well. I'll call. $10.
Kendall, you know it's going to be a pleasure to make you holler calf rope. Ain't going to be no beginner's luck in this game.
Your play, Mr. You.
And 25.
Sure am glad I'm out of this one.
You're 25 and up 25. Kendall, you better get out.
Son of a gun, I'm saying for the last time, Moore, you shut your mouth.
Now listen, Turkey, he's a friend of mine.
Mr. Johnson, he's quite right, Billy. I'd like to buy some more chips, please. 100.
Well, what's your play, mister?
It cost you 50. You better not...
50.
Man, you ain't gonna have enough left to dust your fiddle.
50 and raise 50.
What? There's near 300 in here.
Yeah, so there is.
I got the deadwood on you, boys, but you keep her getting fat, I ain't grumbling. You're 50, you and my 50. That's another 100, Kendall.
Yes, I see. All right, I call.
Mr. Turkey, there is $500. I am now without money. Still, I wish to call you back.
Oh, that's too bad. Hey, maybe you can get a loan, huh?
I no take a loan.
Well, what do you say, you? You in or out? Oh, how about them burros? You want to stake them, huh?
No, not burros. But maybe chain shoki?
Hey, now, ain't that something?
You kidding? The girl should be worth another 100.
I seen her, Turkey. She's a looker.
If you lose, can you guarantee I get her?
I guarantee.
Well, how can you do that, Mr. Yu?
She belongs me. I paid her 0.5 cent from China. You wait, please. I put cards down. Nobody touch.
You got Turkey.
Head's gonna make all you happy as a duck in Arizona. What's the matter, Kendall? Is game too rich for you, huh?
No, not at all. I find it very interesting.
Well, boys, my luck has turned. Yeah, I'm gonna get me a grub stake with the winnings and have me a real nice score to take care of grub slinging and like.
Say, how about me and you going partners?
Yeah, might do that, Diggins. Yeah, might at that.
At that moment, the door opened, and Mr. Yu came in, followed by the girl, Chen Shuk-Yi. She must have been in her early 20s. She was quite beautiful. She didn't look at any of us, but moved behind Mr. Yu's chair, staring black-eyed, expressionless.
You tell her what happens if you lose?
She has been told.
You betting her?
Yes, I call you bet with Shook Yi.
All right. What do you got?
Flush. Hop.
Oh, had you figured. Too bad. Yeah, kings and tenors full.
Just a moment, Mr. Johnson.
Aces and ladies full. Son of a god.
You have won, Mr. Kendall. The money and the girl are yours. Most honored to meet you, Mr. Kendall. Shook Yi's belongings are at my house. Do you wish her to bring them now?
Well, I...
I understand. It is a matter of delicacy. You live at the hotel, Mr. Kendall?
No, I'm staying with Billy Moore.
Her belongings will be brought tomorrow. Most happy gentlemen. Good night.
I'll cash these in if you don't mind, Mr. Johnson. $565.
That was pretty smart, Moore. Pulling in a grifter to clean us out.
Oh, now, just a minute, Turkey.
Are you suggesting by any chance that I'm a cheat, Mr. Johnson?
Well, I'm saying there was more than luck in your deal.
You're saying I cheated?
Here's your money. Come on, Deggers.
Never thought I'd see it. Turkey Johnson backing down. You sure got his number, Kendall. Say, what about her?
I've been wondering. Shook Yi?
Yes, Master?
No, not Master. I'm Kendall.
Kendall?
I think you'd better go back to Mr. Yu's house now.
Oh, no. Me beloved Kendall now, Mr. Yu. Not take Shook Yi back. I not go back.
It ain't gonna do no good, Kendall. He wouldn't have her back. Old Yu's got a lot of pride. He lost her fair and square. She's yours.
But I can't. What the devil am I going to do with her?
Well, now...
A good cook. Men clothes. Very good.
You're good enough for me, girl.
Billy, we'll have to put her up in your shack until I can think of what to do with her.
Well, that's fine with me, Kendall. That's just fine.
You and I will sleep outside.
Now, hold on, boy. I don't mind giving up my bunk. I can sleep on the floor, but there ain't no sense in freezing to death and maybe getting the rheumatics or the heaves.
Well, perhaps you could stay at the hotel. I'd get her a room.
There ain't room for a skinny tick in there this time of night.
All right, then it's got to be your place. Come on.
Nice night, ain't it, Kendall?
Yes.
Stars sure do look pretty.
You comfortable, Shook Yi?
Very comfortable. Very nice. Thank you, Kendall.
How long have you been over here?
4 years.
What made you come?
I was slave girl. Mr. Yu sent to buy me. I come.
Oh.
I like you better. I be good slave to you.
No. A slave is not a good thing, Shook Yi. No one should be slave. In this country, no slaves. You understand?
No. If I no slave, what I do?
Well, what did you do in China?
Slave. Very rich gentleman. Lots of slave. But he get dry gulch by other rich gentleman. Then I his slave. Then second rich gentleman sell me to Mr. Yu. He sell many slaves come to America. Now I you slave.
No, I don't want a slave.
Then why you buy me?
I didn't. I won you in the poker game.
If you lost, you would have paid money?
Yes.
Then you see, it's same. I am glad I not be won by that no good son of gun, Turkey Johnson.
She sure got him pegged.
You shouldn't say that, Shook Yi. Bad words.
I hear many people say so. I no like the way he look at me, son of gun.
Oh. Here, Shook Yi, I'll help you.
I'll get the horses fed and watered. You want to show her where to sleep?
All right.
this your house?
No, it's Billy's.
Oh, he very rich man. Mr. You not have wood floor.
You'll sleep here on this bunk, Shuk Yi.
Where you sleep?
Outside, with Billy.
I sleep on floor. You sleep on bunk.
No, no. I'm going out to help Billy now. You go to bed.
If the master wills it.
I will it. Good night. Billy?
Yeah?
She bedded down.
On the way. Look, this is nothing to laugh at, Billy. What am I going to do with her?
She's your slave. You figure it out.
I mean it. I can't go traveling about with her.
I wouldn't mind it.
Billy, it's serious. You think if I have a talk with Mr. Yule?
I told you, it's no good.
You boys stand right there. Don't turn around or I'll blow your innards out.
Turkey Johnson.
I take the guns off of him.
Sure, Turkey, sure.
All right. Now you got my money, Kendall. You throw it behind you real easy-like. All right, pick it up, Deggers. Now, you go and fetch your gal out.
Sure, Deggers.
I'd advise you to keep your hands off her, Johnson.
Oh, get going, Deggers. You ain't advising nothing, Ken.
I'm going to get you, Turkey. You'll stretch him for this.
Why, you got me scared, blown to death.
Hey, Turkey! Get in here!
What do you mean, she's,
You must have heard her from going out through the window.
We'll find her.
What? Dark.
All right, forget the gal. Let's tail out of here. So long, boys. Thanks for the grub steak.
I'm going to get the
horse.
Wait
a minute. No, there's no sense without a gun.
Should have known. That low down.
Shuk Yi.
No.
Shuk Yi. It's Kendall. They've gone. Where are you?
I come, master.
You got another gun, Billy?
Yeah, in the shack. A rifle and a Colt.
I heard voice of son of gun Turkey Johnson. I go out window.
Yes, yeah, very sensible. You stay here with Shuk Yi, Billy. I'm going after them.
Well, I'll come too.
No, you better stay in case they double back. Lock yourselves in.
Sure I will, Kendall, sure. Don't you worry about a thing.
I left Billy the rifle, took the coat, and rode after Johnson and Deggers. I hoped they'd make for Deer Lodge, which is exactly what they did do. I found them in the least likely, but I suppose most likely place for a man like Johnson, the Dead Broke Bar. They were celebrating, standing drinks to everybody in the place. Turn around, Mr. Johnson.
Well, if it ain't Lord Kendall. What do you say, Your Honor? All right, come on, have a drink.
Not with my own money, thanks. Hand it over like a good fellow.
Are you loco, mister? Your money? I cleaned you out. Ain't that right, Deggers?
Sure. Dead right, Turkey.
An unfortunate choice of words. I say you're dead wrong. But either way, unless you give it back, you'll most certainly be dead.
I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, me too.
You want to draw first?
No shooting in the bar, boys. You take it outside.
Well, you want to
draw first? I have.
I was only kidding.
I'm not. Throw your gun belt on the bar. You too, Deggers. Now, Johnson, I have taken a great dislike to your face. Hold this for me, will you, barkeep?
Get him, Deggers!
Billy, it's me, Kendall. Here's your guns.
Oh.
Hello, Shuk Yi.
Hello.
Well, what's the matter?
Well, Kendall, I hope you don't take this wrong, but I'd kind of like to buy Shuki from you.
What?
Well, you see, me and her, we had a little talk while you was gone, and she takes to me, sort of, and I thought maybe if I married her...
He's a strange man, Kendall. You tell me to him. He wants to marry.
Well, do you want to marry him?
I like.
The next morning, I was best man at their wedding, and Mr. Yu gave Shuk Yi away. After the breakfast, which took place at the Dead Broke Bar, I started off for Fort Benton, where I planned to take the river steamer down the Missouri and write my reports of another part of the West. Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall.
The Frontier Gentlemen on Tuned to Yesterday from March 30th, 1958 on CBS. And that closes this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from Radio's Yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for listening.